Okay, we're going to have the privilege of reading Parshas Nitzavim this coming Shabbos, and just within the word Nitzavim, Rav Elia Meir Bloch Zecher Tzadik Levracha notes that the word Nitzavim, to stand, is also a blessing, because sometimes in the moments of transition, there's a choice between crisis and opportunity, and the secret to success in those moments is to sit with the quiet and pay attention to one's thoughts at those times. So my dear friend and colleague, wiser colleague, Dr. David Pelkovitz, often points out to a famous prayer of Rabbeinu Bechaya, who prayed, Harachamanu Yatzilenu Mipizur HaNefesh Me'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the God of Rachmanis, can he save us from being scatterbrained, from being all over the place, which Dr. Pelkovitz correctly points out, is one of the great challenges of our time. The ability to be Nitzavim, the ability to stand still in the moment, is the secret to safety from that torture. Dr. Pelkovitz quoted 2 years ago from a study in the journal Science, which pointed out that in a particular study that was done, people could not handle being alone with their thoughts from 8 to 15 minutes. The famous rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky also points out his own difficulties with that struggle years ago. That's what Pizur HaNefesh is all about. We have to get comfortable being with ourselves and being with our thoughts. Torah continues with the demands of the Parsha, where Moshe Rabbeinu picks up where he left off. And Rashi comments that when Bnei Yisrael heard the Tochacha, they turned white and they got scared. They wondered if anyone would be able to withstand the wrath of Hashem. And Moshe calmed them down, reminding them of the fact that they had already angered Hashem plenty of times. And still, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, you're still managing to stand still. So the Kleyakar asks that if this is the case, then why did Moshe Rabbeinu offer the Tochacha at all? What was the message if you were going to just simply calm them down? So the Eretz Tzvi of Kozhenglov, the Kozhenglov Rebbe, explains that when they feared utter annihilation, Moshe reminded them that the Tochacha would merely be on the bared parts of them. As far as the good in them was concerned, Atem, Nitzavim Hayom, you guys are still here. You guys have kiyum. You guys have a future. You are not necessarily the bad that exists within you. Ki es asher yeshno po imanu omeit hayom, there are those who are here, ve'is asher einenu, and then there are those who are not. And so the Bahag counts the bris of Har Grizim and Har Evel as a mitzvah, but the Rambam doesn't. The Rambam argues that the bris was a single event, and how could it count? But Ramban defends the Bahag by explaining that he counts even horasha, even things that are only temporary, they're only there for a once-in-a-lifetime event, if that once-in-a-lifetime event has halachic ramifications. So Rav Shachta Shalita explained that the ramification of the bris mentioned here was that it included all future generations. It came along and included anyone, Eis Asher Yeshno Ve'Eis Asher Einenu Po. And this is why, in opposition to the Tochacha and Bechukosai, which is written in the plural, the one here was written in the singular, for it was to the entire nation as one. So if that's the case, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu have the bris take effect right away? Why does he wait until they get to Har Grizim and Har Eval? So Rav Shachter explained that Eretz Yisrael is a further attachment that unites the people into a nation. One nation with a land. That's a sense of arvus, of nationalism. But that wouldn't happen until they crossed the Yarden. However, since Hashem wanted Moshe to exact the bris on his behalf, he had to have Moshe Rabbeinu do it now before they crossed, for Moshe Rabbeinu was unfortunately not destined to be the one who was going to cross together with them. So Moshe Rabbeinu cautions the people, and he says, "Panyish b'chem, ki b'shrirus libi eleich." A person turns will say, "I will follow my heart's desires." And here the word "ki" implies a translation of even though I will follow my heart's desires. It should be pointed out that we never find "ki" translated that way anywhere else. So how do we understand the pasuk with a more acceptable definition of "ki"? Roshal Yisraeli Zatzal cautioned that Paro also was one who wanted to use the same argument, that there was no reason to be punished. Lo yoveh Hashem sloach lo, how could Hashem not forgive us? For after all, if we don't follow Hashem's word, that's preordained. That is the argument that perhaps one wants to advance. God, it's not my fault. I was born into a galus. It's a weak world, and God, you need to understand that. So, to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us, says Rabbi Yisraeli, that Paro made the same argument when he argued that Hashem hardened his heart. However, it was Paro who chose to give up his choice. Paro gave it up. We too need to learn to choose to change. And that's what the Torah mentions, Kikar ve'lecha adavar ma'od, v'ficha u'belvavcha la'asoso. That's in our mouths and our hearts to do so. Torah adds, v'shavta ad Hashem elokecha, that if we want to, we shall return to Hashem. And the Chidah asks how charata and vidui will work. How is it going to be that there will be a charata, there will be a vidui, if we are of the opinion that words don't have the ability to undo actions, that dibur can't undo a maisa. Although asi dibur umavatal maisa is the language of the Gemara. So Rav Asher Anshel Young Rice Zatzal explained that the Gemara in Yuma actually notes that when one does tshuva, it's considered as if he was makriv the paros. It was considered as if he offered karbanos. And thus, says Rav Young Rice, this is considered an action. In other words, tshuva isn't just simple words, it's change. It's real change. The Torah ends Parshas Nitzavim with the declaration, Rei nasati lufanecha ayom es achayim es atov es amabes es ara. Behold, I've placed before you chayim and tov, life and things that are good, and death and things that are bad. Rav Noach Weinberg Zatzal explains that when the Torah speaks of death, it doesn't mean the process of not being alive. The Torah warns us about what death represents. If life refers to the process of growing in one's service of Hashem and developing his or her own character, then death is the choice not to improve. And so Rav Noach added that one can be observant of mitzvos and can choose to coast. That too is death. If we do not choose to push ourselves, then we are choosing death. And faced with these contrasts between challenge and comfort, the Torah warns us that there's no real choice. Uvacharta b'chayim, choose life, or everything just simply stops. Finally, the Haftorah. In the midst of the offering of his Haftorah, Yishayahu HaNavi declares, Ad asher yechonen v'yaseh Yerushalayim tehila ba'aretz. If one looks at the trup for the words, Yerushalayim tehila, you'll see that the trup is Yerushalayim with a severe, Yerushalayim tehilah, right, with a severe followed by a tipcha. And the implication, says Rav Avigdor Nevenzel Shalita, is not that Hashem will make Yerushalayim a praise, but rather that it's already a praise, but it will finally be ba'aretz, it will finally be in the land. In other words, we await the beautiful Yerushalayim Shalmala to be brought to the status of being a reality in this world. We hope, as we approach the end to Tavshin Ayin Vav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes Yerushalayim Tehila Ba'aretz, and that He grants all of us and all our loved ones a Ksiva B'chasima Tova, a good Gebenshtyar, a year that leads to a year of experiencing not only Ayin Zayin Olam Hazeh, but the opportunity to experience the Geula Shlema B'mehera V'yameinu.